Now, my next guest joining us in the food segment today is probably no stranger to our audience at all, because if you didn't catch her on stage during her gorgeous professional career as a ballerina, then you probably saw her on television as a presenter on Top Billing, as a host of her own show on SABC3 called The Hostess, or as a contestant in Celebrity MasterChef South Africa, among many other appearances. Now, she's just released her cookbook, Celebrate with Lorna Maseko, which will have you pirouetting from Asian street food to the perfect gourmet steak and everything in between. It is a great pleasure to have her on the line, although I wish we could have her in studio in Cape Town, but hopefully we can make that happen another time. Lorna, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I love what you said, pirouetting her way. I love that. That was like really, really cool. Well, thank you so much.
It's a great pleasure. It really is a whirlwind read your book of where life has taken you. Lorna, I have to start though by asking about the diet of a ballerina, because everybody thinks that you live on fresh air and lettuce leaves, that you're so careful about managing your weight, but it's a grueling physical sport. You must have to have good nutrition to keep your body strong enough. How did you eat during your ballet days?
Oh, terribly. Yeah, like I actually have a recipe in the book. So basically, I used to have rice cakes with tinned tuna, and a dollop of mayonnaise with like one tomato chopped up, and that was like what I used to absolutely love. So actually, in the book, I have my cookbook. I have like a much more fancier version of that. That's a little more lush and like more delicious than what I used to have. But I really used to honestly just eat terribly. Like it wasn't anything. I don't think nutritious. It was just like to sustain me for that moment to get by. Do you know what I mean? But I guess that's a life of a ballerina. You know?
It is, and it's the salary of a ballerina as well, as you reference in the book, Lorna, not to mention the concern about keeping weight under control. I did smile, though, because there is a story in the very first sort of section where you talk about your overseas trip to Switzerland to compete in the Prix de Lausanne, this exclusive, incredibly important ballet competition. And then when you're knocked out, where do you go but to McDonald's to order cheeseburgers and milkshakes? It was just so incongruent with what you expect to read of a ballerina doing. I absolutely loved it.
I know. And we literally watched like French movies and cried over like, you know, eating McDonald's. And I remember that moment so well. Like to this day, like I always have extra cheese, extra mayonnaise with any burger or any kind of like takeaway meal I ever have that has, you know, burger-wise. It was an emotional moment, but it was like, it was such like a distinct moment because I remember it so well. And I still remember I had a strawberry milkshake because I'm not big on chocolate, so I had a strawberry milkshake, double thick. And, when we traveled to Lausanne, their McDonald's had like so many different things. Like ours didn't have like so many variations of like salads and like, there was like a whole like healthy side. We were like, we're going to have like the burgers, you know, a couple each, you know, which was cool at the time.
Lorna, I mean, we'll talk some more about the travels and how they've influenced your style of cooking and your favorite dishes. But talk to us first about the food you ate growing up and your memories of growing up in Alex with your parents, Elizabeth and Frank Maseko, and what you ate around your table as a family.
As a family, it's the weirdest thing. The other day, actually, I was thinking about it. I was craving bull bran, like
corned beef.
And I remember my mom making it, or I remember eating it at home and it tasting so delicious. And now, when I'm not going to reveal my age, but I'm much older now, and I couldn't believe how cheap the thing is. Like, I was like, wow, this is like stuff that you see in a movie and like a beggar will like eat that like raw, right? And I can't believe my mom made it taste so amazing, you know? And I was like, it just made me realize like I didn't realize the level of poverty we grew up in.
Yeah.
Until like now when I had to like taste that, and I was like, I mean, we didn't have corn beef all the time, but like it was just like a memory, like a moment where I just remembered. I was like, my mom made this taste so well. I actually need to go tell like Bull Brand, please, as cheap as the dish is, can they please help us open the thing easier?
Because
it's still like so difficult to open. I was like, what? You have the key? And then you have to like literally, it's like a whole mammoth task just to open like the cheapest like tin food. I'm like, don't they know there's like other easier ways of like packaging their product? But anyway,
the struggle is real. I'm with you on that one.
I know. Yeah. I was like, it just was like, it's so cheap, but you don't have to make it feel like, you know, it's hard to eat the product as well. You know what I mean?
But
I mean, like, we had beautiful moments growing up, and my parents really worked hard to ensure that we have a really good childhood, you know? I don't ever remember feeling like we didn't have much. Yes, obviously, as a girl or like a young kid, you want certain things that your friends have, and you can't, you know, your parents will always tell you, no, you can't have it, you can't afford it. But I don't ever remember feeling like we were really, like, poor, you know. And I'm grateful for that for my parents. They worked really, really hard. And I'm grateful for the ballet as well. Like, you know, to have been introduced to the things that I was introduced to at such a young age, coming from one of the poorest townships in the country. And, you know, it's a blessing, you know. My biggest fear was always to be a statistic, and my parents were taught that I wasn't, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, and of course, it's taken you to some of the most fascinating foodie destinations in the world. We had your former partner Andile in studio with us a couple of weeks ago,
really?
And, when he was in town,
yes,
and
he
was chatting about the opportunities that the move overseas has offered him, and the exposure to new cultures and new experiences. Now, this is woven throughout your cookbook. There will be a reference to a trip to the Far East in 2013, followed by the dishes based on the food that you ate there and the dishes that surprised you and inspired you. Are there any particular highlights or one country's cuisine that stands out from those travels for you that you just go, that if I could recreate that, I would be happy?
I think definitely going to Hong Kong with Top Billing. That was just absolutely phenomenal. I love Asian flavors. I'm always like, if you could just have like soy sauce, ponzu, and a bit of chili, your life is complete. You know, and ginger.
Yeah.
Don't forget the ginger. Your life is complete. So I definitely would say like anything that's like towards Asian flavors, like I'm always inclined. Anything that has a bit of like fermentation, a bit of pickle, a bit of like that sweet and sour umami flavor in your mouth, generally like, gets me going. But generally, I like all kinds of food. Like, I'll try anything.
Yeah.
The only thing that I haven't tried that I find really, really gross is okra.
Really?
I can't get over the sliminess.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I can't get over the sliminess. But I always say that I think with food, it's how it was introduced to you that paints a picture. So if you recall perhaps like growing up and you had like broccoli or like some other vegetable that you didn't like and you don't like in your adulthood, generally it's because of how it was introduced to you. So what I try do now is I try cook the dish to my palate and the way I would possibly enjoy it. And generally I then eat that food because I'm trying to create a new story around it as opposed to how it was introduced to me.
Change the narrative for broccoli. I like it. I can try that at home with my kids, Lorna. What I love about this book is how you've taken even the international recipes, you've put a little local twist on them. So you'll be talking about the Asian cuisine, and there's a beautiful recipe for a bao bun with sriracha mayonnaise and kimchi. But then the chicken that goes into it is chicken cooked in Nkomas. So you've taken and found local ingredients to fit into the international recipe, which I think is going to make this incredibly accessible to South African readers. I'm interested to see a whole sort of chapter of the book inspired by a Mexican chef. Tell us a little bit more about Carlos Gaten and why he's been such an influence on you.
Carlos was amazing, actually. I met him doing Celebrity MasterChef, and he taught us we had to do this ceviche dish, and I had never had or kind of enjoyed ceviche the way he made it. And I was so dramatic when I realized I wasn't eliminated that day, as I would be. And I knew from that moment that I was going to work with him again. And I used to have a series of events called Cooking with Lorna and Friends, which I'm actually bringing back next year because it was so much fun. And him and I kind of connected. I reached out to him to say, hey, I'm doing this event. Would you be keen to come to South Africa and kind of cook Mexican food? And he was like, oh, I love my time there, and I would love to come. And he was like, I want to introduce the South African market to Mexican food, not just tacos or burritos or like just like what we're used to, but like the finesse of like Mexican food. And he came and he cooked up a storm, and he's been such an influence, and we're still friends today. And he's invited me to come to, he's got an amazing restaurant in Mexico at the moment, actually. I don't know if you pronounce it as hey or ha, but which I would love to go to. And he's just like a cool person. Like, he's just absolutely amazing. Probably, I think that one of the first Michelin star chefs I met. I have lots of friends who are now, but he was one of the first.
Okay, and obviously had a huge impact on you. One of the things you reference in the book is learning to make the perfect steak, and there's an awesome looking recipe for T-bone with a creamy mushroom and pepper sauce, one thing. But the reference is that you learned to do this the right way in a brief stint at food school, at chef school, but you didn't actually stick it out, Lorna. Tell us a little bit about that time in your life.
Oh my gosh, I'm terrible. I'm just not one for, like, I think school, even though I've just finished a certificate or whatever, but I just felt like I wanted to learn, like, kind of like be in the moment and learn and fail. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to know how the French invented XYZ and how the Russians then came in or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was a strong kind of 2 months holding it in there. And I thought to myself, you know what, I would rather teach myself and learn the hard way, I guess, between trial and error, you know. And that's what I did. But I still have the file, if that's anything to go by.
Hey, we've also got the recipe books and the files to help us along, so I'm with you that the practical experience supersedes the theory, definitely. Look, Lorna, somebody's asking me on the SMS line about your TV show The Hostess with Lorna Maseko, and whether there's ever going to be another season. I mean, where to from here? You've got this gorgeous new book out. You've mentioned that you want to bring back those cooking events that you used to do. Is there perhaps another TV show in the making sometime in the future?
Yes, definitely. I think 2020 is an exciting year. Definitely an international show is in the pipeline. Super excited about
that.
I'm actually doing a book tour in the US in 2020 as well. It sounds weird to say 2020, but yeah.
8 weeks from now, yeah.
I don't say that. Oh my gosh. Jeez. That's scary. But yeah, so it's very, very exciting. And it is just about like just changing the narrative, just taking South African cuisine overseas. South African food hasn't had quite the platform it deserves. And I think we have fantastic food, fantastic produce. And so it's just about kind of like putting our name out there in a good way.
Well, I'm looking forward to diving into the pages of this book and trying out the one that's calling to be cooked for me is the King Prawns on the Braai in a wine and chili sauce. Amazing.
Yeah.
Lorna, the final question is around the book. Who should buy your book? Which sort of, how talented and advanced a cook do you need to be, do you think, to tackle these recipes?
You could just be just like me, a quintessential home cook who just enjoys being in the kitchen and having fun. I always say, you know, food is beyond just a plate of food. It's beyond those recipes. Hence, I didn't want a cookbook that just had recipes. That's a life story. It's how I feel like even if you read the book 10 years from now, you will know my story. Not a lot of kids can say they were the first black ballet dancers in this country, you know? And so I think anyone that just loves to have fun, has a quirky personality and just enjoys being around with friends, you know? I think food is beyond just, like I said, a plate of food. You know, it's about you celebrating with people. It's about the aunt that tells you a story about how Uncle so-and-so did this. It's about the passing of one dish to another person. It's the jokes. That's what food's about. And so I hope people just enjoy the pages, enjoy my story, and here's to creating more beautiful moments.
Well, thanks for sharing it with us today. Lorna Maseko on the line from Johannesburg. Thank you so much for joining us on Cape Talk this afternoon. The book is called Celebrate with Lorna Maseko. It's published by Human and Rousseau and available in all good bookstores now at around about 360 Rand a copy. Lots of absolutely gorgeous recipes from traditional South African dishes to Asian food and beyond. Really, there will be something that I think everybody will find to dive into in between the covers of this one.